Just two thoughts, one about our first reading, the second about the gospel. The first thought is, these are really extraordinary events that are taking place in this Old Testament period. Here we are, 1200 BC, and there's this little nation, Israel. And there's going to be a miracle happening that sometimes we can just easily miss amidst all the things of the Israelites leaving Egypt. And that is, they come up with a revelation of God that I don't think anyone could have come up with on their own without the true inspiration of God himself. They come up with a name for God. Remember, a name represents the essence of a thing, the nature of the thing, the heart of the thing, right? The name is not just something you call a thing by. The name reflects what it is at its heart. And here is the name that God gives himself. It's actually, in Hebrew, we say in English, I am who am. But really, it is what's called the causative tense in Hebrew. And in other words, I am who am the cause of being. In other words, you know, it's in that causative tense, so it's literally, you know, the cause of everything. But it's not just the claim to be a creator. It's not just the claim to be singular, to be one and only one. It is also the fact that it is a personal God, and a personal God who is just and caring about Israel. Now, you just think about those four qualities for just one second. Let's talk about 1200 BC and all these tribes that are all around Israel. Not exactly in the greatest humanistic, metaphysical, philosophical state. We're talking about some pretty warlord-like sort of nomadic peoples who have not been poring over religious texts and philosophy texts for a long period of time. I mean, let's face facts. I mean, this is 800 years before Socrates, Plato, and Aristotle. And they're coming up with this out of the blue, completely different from any other tribe or religion. They come up with this for the essence of God himself. I am who am the cause of being. This is amazing. I mean, when you think about it, I mean, there's a lot of miracles taking place, you know, at this point, right? You've got Israel leaving Egypt. How that happened, I'll never figure out. You know, I mean, they weren't going to let this whole tribe of people just walk away because, of course, when you got good slaves and indentured servants, right, you're going to keep them in place because that's a good source of income. But nope, they just seem to get out of there. Then they take over not just one, but seven different tribes in the whole Canaanite region that are listed in today's reading. That's another, I don't know how a nomadic tribe pulls that off without some help from God. But that's all beside the point. What's really the nifty deal is the revelation of God himself. And of course, if you look at it, the idea, God is one. Okay, the Egyptians had a sun god, but that's not the same as Israel's God. The one God of Israel is the one and only one creator. Everything else is a creature, including the sun. Now, where did the Israelites come up with this? I'm just asking you. Number two, where did they come up with the idea that this one God is the cause of all being? He is, as it were, ipsum suum esse subsistens. He is being itself who is subsisting through himself. That's a philosophical term. The Israelites didn't know that term. But I'm telling you right now, They're onto it. They're onto it in a way that's so totally distinct from every other culture and religion. The third thing is, where in the world did they get the idea that this God, this creator, this singular creator essence that has thrown everything into being, including every natural object like the sun, where did they get the idea that he is a personal God? I am. He doesn't, they don't use the third person, causative, of to be to describe God. It's the first person causative of to be that they're using for God. Where in the world did they get that? And then where did they get in the whole wide world the fact that God is a caring and just God? He is not the God of all the other nations around, who is a capricious God that treats human beings like playthings and cannon fodder. Nope, the Israelis come straight out and say that human beings are made in the very image and likeness of God, and God cares about us, and God treats us justly. Indeed, he is the seat of justice itself. I got to tell you, 800 years before Plato, I'm scratching my head. Unless God revealed it to Moses and revealed it in some way to Israel so profoundly that they simply changed the entire course of the history of religions and culture and come up with this, which of course will become the nexus into which Jesus is born and the nexus into which religion will infuse itself in culture for the betterment of culture for centuries. What a miracle. We ought to recognize that, along with all the other things that are so peculiar about this particular date and time in the history of Israel. Amen.